Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Baseball is back, and I am so happy to be talking ball. It's our first official episode of the season. Full slate of baseball games this weekend. I am your host, Lorenzo. Welcome into another episode of Swamp Talkie Radio, joined as always by producer Ronnie, who is going to be spreading more propaganda than you can imagine. Ronnie, how are you doing? And I already know the answer to that.
It's Lorenzo D'Amalia.
Full name is crazy.
I doxed you.
Oh, no.
It's a beautiful day to be alive.
It's a beautiful day. Play It's a Beautiful Day by U2. I listened to that on the way to work today.
Did you?
Yeah, and it was a beautiful feeling. And I didn't see any throw up on the train today.
You know, it's a little rainy here in New York.
It's a little rainy.
But it doesn't feel like it's rainy.
No. It's not rainy in my heart. It's sunny and 80 in my heart, wow. No matter what anyone says. We got a full show for you today. 9 innings, 9 topics. It's an overreaction Monday, which means we're going to have a couple headlines we're going to overreact to. Are teams really back? Are teams really done for the year? It's only been 4 games, and we're going to figure it out. And we have a pitch clock today because I know I can yammer on about stuff. So Ronnie's going to keep me on a 5-minute timer per inning. And if I go over, he's going to give me a ball. And if I get 4 balls, trust me, you don't want to see what's going to happen. Ronnie's a loose cannon if I start walking. So 4 balls is a bad thing. He might just end the episode.
I hate walks.
You hate walks. So I got to be really careful not to go over the timer. And we'll have some special people pop in at certain times of the show. Ronnie, are you ready to talk some baseball?
I'm so ready to talk some baseball.
I'm ready to talk some baseball. First inning, panic or not. Ronnie, what is our first question of the day?
So there are 4 winless teams in baseball. 4 of them went 0 wins.
That's not what you want to do.
No, that's a pretty bad start.
Bad start.
Which fan base should be the most worried?
That's a good question, Reginald. 4 teams. Mets, Marlins, White Sox, Astros. I mean, Astros and Marlins got 0-for-4 swept. I mean, the Astros and they were both at home, too.
Yeah.
0-for-4 at home is a tough way to start the year. Which fan base should be the most worried? Well, it's not the White Sox because there weren't really any expectations around you. So how can you be worried? This is what you expected. I think it's the Mets, man. Oof. I think it's the Mets. And right. I got a full inning dedicated to them, so I'm not going to go fully in on them because we got a whole topic about them. But I think it's the Mets. But for the sake of this conversation, let's talk about the Marlins because, dude, they got 0-for-4 swept at home. They made the playoffs last year, and I think expectations were to make the playoffs again this year. Luis Arraez started 0-for-13 on the season, which is just not what you want to see. I mean, there's cause for concern for all 4 of these teams. But if I'm a Marlins fan, this is not what you want to see. And then in the postgame presser, Jazz Chisholm was talking about the shadows, which was just such a bad look.
After hit a grand slam
Hit a tank, which was awesome. Great swing. Yeah. And you got 0-for-4 swept out of your own building. You can't be talking about the shadows, my guy.
It's like Pirates played on the same field.
Yeah, same field. So not the best look. But I think it's the Marlins, I think this hurts their season expectations the most. Obviously, it's only 4 games. You can come back from this. But starting out 0-for-4 when you expect to make the playoffs in an NL East that should be really competitive, that's not the best look. And now we get a Mets versus Marlins series, the battle of the winless teams. And both teams who had some controversy this weekend. So tough times to be a Marlins and a Mets fan. And then the Astros, they're probably the second least worried for me. I'm not worried about them at all. It was bad, bad series. I also am going to get into them later. We got a Yankees Astros inning where Ronnie can fully start spreading misinformation.
Sure.
But right now, if I'm an Astros fan, I'm worried with a small W, but like I wouldn't be that worried. But Marlins and Mets fans, a lot to worry about. Second inning. World Series is back on for some certain teams. Ronnie, what is our question to start off our second inning?
I mean, let's just flip the script. Which fan base should be the most excited?
That's a good question. Now, we got the Yankees, Pirates, Brewers, and Tigers as our teams that haven't suffered a loss yet. I will say I watched a lot of the Yankees-Astros series this year, and there is a certain feeling around a baseball club when you haven't lost yet where it just feels impossible to lose. You're like, oh, we'll win this game. Like, they were down at any point in the series. Same for the Pirates and the Brewers and the Tigers. At any point, I was like, oh, they're just going to win because they haven't lost yet. I mean, if I, as from coming from me, it's the Pirates. And I'm going to spread the propaganda of the Pirates because, again, I'm not a Yankees fan. So if you want all the Yankees love, I work at a media company where there's 100 Yankees fans here. So you can go find that anywhere else. But for me, it's the Pirates. The last time the Pirates opened the season with a four-game sweep on the road was 1903.
Great year.
Great year. That was the year of the train was invented. Train was probably invented before 1900.
That was,
I don't know.
That was what, like...
Something happened in that year. Pirates were playing baseball, though.
Turn of the century could have been the telegram.
It's true. That was a big invention. The Pirates started 20-8 last season before falling off. So, am I overreacting to their 4-0 start? Hell yeah, dude. 4-0 on the road. You sweep a team that was in the playoffs last year. Rowdy Tellez with an absolute tank to give him the lead in game four. The vibes were electric. And I want Pittsburgh to be good so bad that I don't care if I start spreading propaganda about them. Because if they are good, I'm going to take credit for being on the bandwagon early. And that's like the win-win situation. If they stink, no one's going to be mad at me for believing in the Pirates. It's a fun story. But if they're good, I'm going to get on the internet. I'm going to get on my high horse. Yep. And I'm going to start saying, hey, guys, I was telling you about Pittsburgh. I'm going to retweet a tweet from like a year ago.
That horse is so high.
Oh, my gosh. I'm staring down at everybody with judgmental faces right now.
That's what I'm doing with my Rockies.
Dude, you're right. They won a game.
I know.
They won a game in that series, dude. Even though they gave up so many runs, they won a game. So the Pirates are the one. Obviously, the answer is the Yankees. I mean, 4-0 sweep of the Astros, a team that has straight up owned you for like 5 years. And you go in there and you flip the script on them. You do to them what they've been doing to you for years. Late game comebacks, clutch hitting,
yep.
The Juan Soto factor. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I mean, there's a lot to be excited for both teams. Let's talk quickly about the other two undefeated teams. The Brewers, 3-0 sweep the Mets. They punked them, is how I would say it.
Straight up manhandled.
Manhandled. It was brutal. And then the Tigers, probably the least focused on series of the weekend for me. I'm going to be honest, Tigers fans. I didn't watch an inning of Tigers versus White Sox, so I'm not going to come out here and give you detailed takes and pretend that I did. I didn't get to see it. And that's probably the series I wish I watched a little bit more because I'm interested in what the Tigers have to do this year. And they swept them.
I was locked in.
That's a good start. And it's hard to sweep a baseball team. I mean, the Orioles played really well, and they took 2 out of 3 from the Angels. It's hard to sweep. So, pretty impressive, Tigers. I'm happy for you. Moving on to our third inning, we have the Monday morning hot takes, Ronnie. Now, this is your ESPN ticker. This is your MLB Network. 4 guys, 1 former player who played probably 2 years in the minors, 1 year in the majors, is on set in like a nice suit.
Yep.
And they're just spewing hot takes. So these are our 5 Monday morning hot takes.
Oh, war podcast.
Sorry, this is my war podcast now. And we're going to go for each one of them and see how hot they are. The Yankees are the best team in baseball. It's a hot take.
That's a green pepper.
let's go back to our pepper scale. Red pepper, green pepper, or yellow pepper? Green pepper cold, yellow pepper medium, red pepper too hot. I'm going to give it a yellow pepper because I think that it's the right opinion probably to have. Or like, I don't blame you for having that thought, especially if you're a Yankees fan. I mean, today should be the day that you're on the streets pounding your chest, spreading propaganda. Go for it. Have a blast. I mean, so many reasons too. I'm going to give it a yellow pepper because I saw a lot of good teams this weekend.
I mean, sure, yeah.
And, you know, it's 4 games in. Yeah. So I'll give a yellow pepper because there was some stuff. They looked good and some stuff that I was a little concerned about, but also 4-0, tough to argue with that. Sweeping out the Astros, that's tough. Mookie Betts, who won his 2nd MVP, green
that's
pepper,
so
bro.
Green, dude.
Green. 4 homers on the season, playing shortstop. Dude, every time I see Mookie Betts, he's on base.
Yes.
It's every time I watch the Dodgers game, he's on base, and he looks so good.
He's hitting the ball so hard.
Every swing's like 100 miles per hour, and 4 homers already is crazy. For Betts, we're 6 games into the year, or 5 games for the Dodgers.
Yeah,
5 games into the year.
Five.
No, I think it's six because they had one in – they're 4-2. It was a four-game set against the Cardinals. So six games into the year, four homers for Mookie Betts. It's a pretty good pace for him. Next question. The Marlins will miss the playoffs.
I don't think that's a hot take at all.
I'm going to give it a yellow pepper as well because 4-0 is bad, but I mean, it's only – I mean, 0-4 is bad, but it's only 0-4. We got 158 games to go. The NL is kind of a crapshoot.
Which is why I think they could maybe miss.
They could miss. I am worried about the injuries on that team, man. Their pitching staff is really banged up. I didn't see a lot that impressed me this weekend.
Like Sandy? Like he's like good, right?
Oh, Ronnie. Did you not know? Did you forget?
It's like I wake up in a coma and I'm like, oh, I'm sure, surely Sandy on concrete.
I got bad news, Ronnie. His elbow said no.
His UCL's bad?
His UCL is no more.
It's rotten?
He screwed out the door.
I listened to that song this weekend.
Of course he did. I'm going to give it a yellow pepper. It's too early for me to make a strong statement like that. But, I mean, we said small worried for the Astros, big worried for the Marlins. The Reds are this year's Diamondbacks.
I like that.
I mean, they did a lot to impress me. Their vibes are good. They were the comeback kids this weekend. My boy Jonathan India putting together some good at-bats. I like to see that after all those trade rumors. Ellie looked pretty good.
You remember last year they had that like 2 weeks?
We were playing the Nationals, though.
That's true.
So I have to put this. I'm going to put this in a yellow pepper. I'm not giving great answers, but I'm going to put yellow pepper because they were playing the Nationals. And it was the first series of the year.
So are we saying the Reds are going to go to the World
Series? The Reds are going to be like a surprise playoff team who makes a lot of noise. I got to go. I'm going to go Red Pepper. I'm going to be honest. Yeah. Too hot for me. Yeah. That's too hot. I mean, the Nationals opening weekend series, I can't be out here. And they didn't even sweep them. I can't be out here giving them a this year's Diamondbacks. Although, they do cause a lot of havoc on the base paths. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of guys with a lot of upside. So I like their energy. The last one, which I think might be the easiest one, is Gunnar Henderson is the best player on the Orioles. Ronnie, I'll let you answer this first.
I'm going to say yellow pepper.
Yellow pepper?
Because I still think Adley's the guy.
I'm going to... Oh, this is tough.
You also have Cedric Mullins.
I watched a lot of Gunnar.
You're big on Gunnar.
I watched a lot of Gunnar this weekend. God damn, is he good, dude.
He's great.
His defense is unreal.
You saw that play?
I saw that play. I saw that triple. Yep. I saw that swing. Yep. I saw everything. And I am buying... Dude, I'm radiating energy right now. Gunnar is kind of my guy.
Yeah.
In on him. I remember earlier in the offseason, I was like, are they going to move him off short? Hell no, you're not moving him off shortstop. He's your everyday shortstop. Gunnar Henderson, I'm going to give it a green pepper right now.
Wow.
That's the end of our 5 minutes. I got it right off before the pitch clock, so no ball, Ronnie. I know you were ready to go.
Yeah.
Now give me 5 second hesitation on this next pitch clock because I got to set this topic up real quick. We got Rhys Hoskins versus the Mets. Now start that clock and let's start talking about the Mets, man. Interesting series. The Brewers sweep the Mets, and I said it before, I'll say it again, they kind of punked them.
Yeah.
It was a very aggressive series on both sides. It starts off with the Rhys Hoskins, Jeff McNeil slide, and I do slide at second base, which was a little controversial. Now, I do think it was a late slide.
Yeah.
Like, I do think it was a little bit of a late slide. I don't think it warranted, like, a fight or what ensued after, but I get where Jeff McNeil's coming from, because if you get hurt on that play, you're going to be pissed, bro. Game one, a lot of energy, a lot of testosterone. I think it was a little late. I don't think it was dirty, though. I think it was just a late slide. Now, that happens. They get into a fight. Everyone knows that. Next thing I know, the Brewers are mocking the Mets.
Yes.
With a crying celebration. The wah, wah. After every hit. And I mean, you can't have that happen.
I kind of love it.
I love it. Now, I do have Jolly Olive on his way in.
Whoa.
And he has entered the room right now. So Jolly.
Oh, my God.
We'll be taking a seat. We'll get his opinion. But my last thing on this is, you know, we get the crying celebration. Go ahead, Jolly. Take a seat. We welcome you to the swamp. And then Reese Hoskins go crazy on them boys. And we let them know. Jolly, how are you?
I'm good. I had a good weekend outside of my favorite team playing baseball. Lost my voice a little bit, but feeling good.
How'd you lose your voice?
Went to a concert Friday, yelled at the Mets, not for the Mets, at the Mets on Saturday, and then too much drinking on Easter Sunday.
Well, we do got to talk fast because Ronnie got me on a 5-minute pitch clock. He just restarted the clock. Oh, wow. Thank God. I was worried. Yeah, yeah. So we only got 5 minutes, and then if I get
looking
a
great, Ronnie.
And then I'm going to get too. A ball. And if I get 4 balls, Jolly, you don't want to see what's going to happen.
What's going on in this show?
Ronnie's going to go unhinged.
I hate walks.
I mean, what's your opinion on the Mets season? On the weekend, not season.
Season.
Weekend.
Games left to play.
I don't want to make you go meta.
Meta, pun intended. I think I tweeted this, but I think it was probably the worst start they could have gotten off to. I was talking with Jimmy today because Jimmy has done a lot of diving into the Hoskins-McNeil situation. Mm. Tough call because McNeil is not a guy that ever slides hard into second base, and you guys will see that if you follow Talking Baseball. Jimmy's going to do something for that soon. It was very eye-opening. And Reese Hoskins is a guy. He breaks up a lot of double plays. Big guy. He plays hard. So I could see why they clashed over that situation, but I almost wish it was like a little spat and that was it.
Mm.
Because you have a manager in his first game. You have Reese Hoskins, who has torched the Mets his entire career and has had a game where, you know, he got thrown out and then hit a beast home run.
Yeah.
So I went the next day and I was like, well, he's going to have a terrific game. Hopefully we can just overcome that.
He's going to go crazy.
And I thought they hit well, but all that gets overshadowed by making a ridiculous decision to throw out his head in the seventh inning after he's already, you know, beaten your head in, as Ron Darling said, commentator for the Mets. So it was just an absolute disaster. I think there's good takeaways, kind of like, you know, from any loss you can have good takeaways. But at the end of the day, I think it's just you attracted a spotlight under yourself really early, and that's just never what you want, especially with, like, new leadership, you know?
I needed this tone, man, because I was about to just go, I appreciate, like, coming from an actual, like, a Mets fan who cares and hearts on the line in this series, because sure. I was just going to come in, and I was just going to start talking about, like, the headline, the big picture stuff. He slid in, he threw it in, which, by the way, it's the corniest thing. I think it's so lame, and maybe it's because in every video I do, I hit. But, dude, it's the lamest thing ever when you throw at a hitter just because they're whooping you, bro. It's like, just strike them out. It's like, strike them out, get on the mound, and do the crying celebration right back
the
at
crazy,
Reese,
he
man.
Struck him out the next day. Dude, like, he could have just done that in
dude,
the first
do it
place.
Then. Then just start, like, do the craziest celebration on him.
But I honestly don't even think it didn't need to be that. All you needed to do was just, like, throw high and tight in the first inning, be like, hey, like, we're not going to take that shit, but, like, that's it, you know, address it and then move on. Don't let him kill you. And then in the fourth inning, throw it his head.
Bad look.
Yeah, it's just a bad look all the way around.
I do think that the Mets didn't play horrible, though.
Let's go.
I don't think they were, like, we just did a segment on which team should be the most worried, and I said, I'm worried about the Mets. Yeah, I am. Because
definitely.
And the reason I think the fans should be worried is because they're one of those teams where it could go either way for them. Mm. And when you're a team that I have you at a 500 team, vibes is so important. And vibes are horrible right now.
Oh, they're terrible.
You can't, like, having McNeil get into that fight with Hoskins, like, that verbal spat, and then them just sweeping you. It's like, so I think vibes are really, really bad. So I am very worried. But I do like the talent on the field. So
yeah, I mean, Alonso homered, Beatty homered, Alvarez homered. That's the formula. You
exactly.
know, like, you need those guys to go. Marte looked good. I think if, like, your top three of Nimmo, Lindor, and McNeil hit a little bit, they probably get a win in there. Like, Saturday, I think I said this. I think Saturday had a chance to be a really fun win.
Agreed.
If not for, like, Seve kind of letting things spiral and then the Hoskins situation overshadowing everything. Mm. Like, you have a chance to spin that into a fun first win for the new manager. Instead, they lose and they kind of tuck their tails the next day. So they just need a reset. Hopefully they get to play with the rain today and, you know, just win a game.
We're going to wash it. That series never happened.
Rain's coming. Wash it away.
All right. Now we got a battle of the winless teams. We got Marlins and Mets. What needs to happen in this series for you to forgive what happened last series?
Well, the Mets do have the Tigers. I don't know.
I thought they were playing the Marlins.
No, they have the Tigers coming into town for three games.
Tigers didn't know that. I thought it was the Marlins.
Tigers are loseless. So
it changes everything.
It's a tough situation.
I've been spreading misinformation.
It's okay.
Tigers, Marlins. So what needs to happen?
The Mets need to hit the new good Tigers pitching, which the White Sox did not do. They need to keep their head down and just play ball. Like, no more spats, which I don't think it'll be a problem.
I like the headlines, man.
There's no beef there. And they need to get 5 good innings from their starter. That's what they need. They haven't gotten that yet.
5 good innings from their starter. Hey, let's win a series, Jolly.
Red Sox split, right?
Red Sox split. And let's see the Mets win a series against the Tigers. Thank you for hopping on, Jolly. I'm going to cut it 15 seconds off so Ronnie doesn't give me a ball and I pass off again. That is Jolly Olive. Make sure you subscribe to his channel. Next inning, we have... All right, Ronnie. Yankees, Astros, go ahead.
Let's
get
go.
Your propaganda off. I'll shut my mouth. Take the camera. Take the spotlight. It's all you. Give me your opinion on the series.
It was a dream start to the series. So,
it was a dream start for you.
It was. I mean, you can't start a year better off than that. Yankees, Astros. It's the prime time, I guess, of the entire opening weekend.
They got the Fox Saturday night game. They got a lot of spotlight, man.
We had the Apple broadcast on Friday, Fox Saturday night. I mean, we were like on different platforms every night. Which is insane. But the Yankees look great.
You can say we.
Yeah,
I'm a supporter of we, man. Yeah. You're a Yankees fan. You got the Yankees hat. Say we, bro. Embrace it.
Soto, I mean, everyone, there's been a lot of glazing.
Of course.
It's just a lot of glazing, gushing on like how great Soto is. I am a huge, huge Soto fan. Love them, obviously. How can you not? But like, I don't think he thought that he was going to start out this good.
I mean, what was he? There was a stat at one point where he was 8 out of 12 plate appearances he got on base.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
So you remember when you said every time you saw Mookie, he was on base?
That was Soto.
Soto did that a little bit better.
He did. Now give me like one player besides Soto who impressed you.
I can tell you who didn't impress me.
Oh, wow.
Aaron Judge.
Well, that's scary for everyone else.
No, it's not.
I've seen that all over the internet. Aaron Judge, Soto's the new captain. It's like, guys, we're 4 games in the year.
Judge started off slow in his MVP year. So,
yeah, I mean, also, it happens.
Who impressed me, obviously, is Waldo Cabrera. He's like...
He looked crazy.
He had no expectations coming in. Like, not no, but like, he wasn't seemed to be a factor coming into like the series. He wasn't even supposed to start, but then Peraza went down. He's our starting, and so did DJ LeMahieu, who got a fractured something. So now he's going to be a pretty much our everyday third baseman, and he's been raking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was this crazy, like, super cherry pick stat. It was like, nope, there's only been 5 players to have a game tying hit after the 6th inning in his first 3 games of the season.
And Oswaldo Cabrera was one of them.
And now he's one of them.
I mean,
so it's like 1950, whatever. He's great.
I was very impressed. I'm happy for you, Ronnie. I have no hater take. I am a Red Sox fan. I don't hater, not hater, the pitcher, hater, like being a hater, in case you missed that. I don't have anything I can nitpick about. I mean, what a series for the Yankees. Super impressive. I'm a Red Sox fan. I was actively rooting against them, and they won, and they balled out, and it was super impressive. When he's locked in, Juan Soto is the best hitter on the planet,
yep.
Period. End of statement. It's like a fact. When he's focused and he's hitting and he has a contract on the line, what you're going to get from Soto is generational type stuff. I was very impressed by the depth of the Yankees lineup.
Yeah.
My guy, Anthony Volpe, who I talked about on a Swamp Donkey Radio episode earlier, that jump between year 1 and year 2 in terms of plate appearance is what I tend to look for in a young player. In just terms of OBP, you saw the power from Volpe last year. You saw the speed from Volpe last year. What was missing? Contact and on-base percentage. And that is something that I believe is going to come in his second year. His plate appearances were very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Just the depth of the lineup. You got to see, I think it was Austin Wells was working some at-bats on base. You got to see Oswaldo Cabrera going crazy.
Verdugo played great,
although he had an absolute trip in left field. Like, every time there was a ball, he was diving for it. And that's the type, but even though he wasn't making those plays, man, I've watched Alex Verdugo play for the Red Sox forever. He brings that, like, that piss and vinegar attitude you need on a team. And the vibes around them, it all stems from Juan Soto, man.
Yep.
The reason we're talking about Cabrera, the reason we're talking about Volpe, the reason you're even bringing up Verdugo or any of these other guys is because you have a generational hitter in your lineup. And the confidence and the aura that gives everybody else to know, hey, that guy's going to get on base. That guy's going to hit a homer to take the lead. That guy against Josh Hader, isn't outmatched. Like, he is on the same level as a pitcher as Hader. That makes everyone else job easier. You get to move down a spot in the order. There's a lot less pressure on you. You don't have to hit homers. You don't have to be the guy. You can just work good at bats, and that's what you saw. And the Yankees pitching was very impressive. Now, I only got 25 seconds left on this, so quickly, if I were to pour a little salt on it and say, all right, don't get overhyped, I thought the Astros played terribly, man. Their bullpen blew the lead in every single game, and that's supposed to be a strength of theirs, although the Yankees hitters are good. And same with the lineup. Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman and Yordan Alvarez went a combined 5 for 32 with one extra base hit. Credit to Yankees pitching, but bad hitting. Moving on.
Wow.
To our next inning, we will have another guest pop in real quick because we are going to take it to our Red Sox corner. So give me a little bit more than 5 minutes on this one, Ronnie. Give me a good 7 minutes.
You want seven?
I want seven because I'm having a guest in and I want to talk about the Red Sox, man.
So for the Yankees, we get a measly 5 like everyone else. But for the Red Sox, who split a series, oh my God.
Start the pitch clock timer. Jack, you got to be careful. We only got 5 minutes, and we go over. Ronnie's going to give me a ball, and you don't want to see what happens when we get 4 balls.
I used Axe body spray.
This morning?
In the office just now.
The one in the bathroom?
No, Dalton has some.
Why?
And I don't like it.
Did you smell?
I didn't put on deodorant this morning, but I didn't smell.
You should have asked me. I got deodorant.
Oh, no, I have it.
Oh.
It was just like an opportunity, but I think I blew it up my shirt right into my... I don't know. It just smells like I smell like a locker room.
What type of Axe?
I smell like a bunch of men.
Was it like Phoenix? Like the blue one that you get when Anarchy. You're like 11? Why does Dalton have that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Is that what you wanted to get off your chest?
No.
What did you want to get off your chest?
Oh.
Before we talk about the Red Sox.
Did you see... I'm pretty frustrated.
Okay, go ahead.
No, shut up. did you see the Rays ball boy?
No, what happened?
He's making play. I'm showing you this now. It's on the screen.
Okay, we'll put it on the screen.
It's on the screen.
Look at this Rays ball boy.
Oh, my God. He's making full plays. Extension?
And look at the glove. It's my exact new glove.
Oh, you guys have the same glove?
Yeah, the black one?
Yeah.
Wait, is that another ball pull?
The other Rays ball boy on the left side line is also making plays. So the Rays are they're pumping out prospects full. They don't look athletic.
That first play was insane.
No, and then they're... It's crazy.
That's the craziest thing
and
I've seen.
I don't think that got enough love, so.
I didn't see it, so thank you for bringing that to the swamp. Welcome. Did you watch a lot of Red Sox baseball this weekend?
Yeah, I watched most of every inning.
If you had to describe the weekend in one word, what would that word be?
Who?
Nice.
That's actually a great word.
Yeah.
A lot of guys we haven't known about.
Owls be like.
Yes.
Owls, because
the pitching is awesome, and the people we've heard about for a while are like, oh, they're kind of shoving now.
Starting to get there.
And last year, everyone's like, the lineup bangs. It's so good. And this year, half the lineup, I'm not sure who they are.
A lot of guys, Wilmer Abreu, Emmanuel Valdez, a lot of guys in the lineup that you're like, what's going on
and
here?
And the spelling is insane.
The spelling's crazy. Just to validate your point, the Red Sox struck out 33 times in their first 3 games of the season. That's the most a Red Sox team has ever struck out in a 3 game stretch. Really, really bad. And it kind of switched. Also, the Mariners pitching, really good. My my George Kirby Cy Young propaganda got a boost this weekend.
Yeah.
I like that. But I agree. Everyone in their lineup, I was like, what the hell's happening?
Yeah, but
their
bottom five, especially when Devers wasn't in the lineup.
It's half the lineup.
This is a AAA team.
When Devers was in the lineup, we were 2-0. When Devers was out of the lineup, we were 0-2. Yeah. And a big reason for that is our boy Casas.
Yeah.
I mean, someone has figured something out with him because he saw literally 2 fastballs.
Yeah. And Euclid was adamant about that.
He was letting everyone know.
Off speed, another off speed. It's like, well, he's not hitting anything.
Dude, I noticed that too on the Nesson broadcast.
He's pushing his agenda.
Kevin Euclid, he found it. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like when you find a take you want to let everybody know that, like, oh, this is true. Like, he noticed it in the first game. It's like the Mariners only threw breaking balls to Casas all series, and he went 1 for 15. And then Kevin Euclid was like, here comes another breaking ball. Yeah. It's like, no shit. He struck out 10 times.
Yeah, and then I think by the end, he was, like, getting out on cutters. We're just like, I mean, it's not a curveball.
But it was bad. So Casas didn't look good. Good news, though. I mean, the new pitching staff era for the Red Sox, the Andrew Bailey era, off to a beautiful start. He's our new pitching coach.
Yeah.
Former Angels pitcher.
Yes.
You know, everyone's really excited about him.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love...
How's Andrew?
He's doing well. Nice. I mean, he's helping the staff out a lot, so that's huge.
Yeah, I love our coaching.
Our coaching looks good. Cora's new beard.
Yeah, it's hot.
He looks hot. And to validate, Bayou, Pivetta, and Crawford went 17 innings pitched. They only gave up 3 earned runs, only walked one hitter, struck out 19.
Yeah.
And they all threw 0 fastballs, basically.
I'm feeling pretty great about the pitching and, like, the kind of the team in general. I'm all in on Tyler O'Neill. It's just is unfortunate
Red Sox.
That no one informed me that we're not going to have a lineup.
We might have a lineup. It's just,
I don't know.
There's a lot of hit or miss. Like,
a lot
right,
of miss.
Right. This weekend, a lot of miss.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of that Valdez swing yesterday, there was nothing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Duran, Casas, someone's got to click and, like, be good.
Right, but Duran and Casas are part of our good lineup.
But they were really bad this weekend.
Right, but even if they're it's good, they're the names.
We're seeing two ends of a spectrum right here.
Yeah.
I'm feeling optimistic, but I get what you mean. There isn't a lot of guys in the lineup. I look
like
for the
that's
word.
The top of our order.
It's true. To quote Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, there's no consistency, wow. man, in the lineup. Like, no. Outside of Devers, who it's like, okay, Devers is going to be good.
Yeah.
Like, anyone else in the lineup, I have no idea. Like, Casas could suck this year, or he could be really good. And I have no idea yeah. how it's going to go. Same with everyone else in the lineup. I would like to see Grisham get back and play second base because he's supposed to be a really good hitter.
Yeah.
So that should help a little bit.
I think with Vaughn, is his name Vaughn?
Yeah. Vaughn Grissom. I think it's Grissom. G-R-I-S-S-O-M.
I yes. feel like his name should be Vance Grisham.
Vance Grisham?
In my head, but it's I think it's Vaughn Grissom.
Mm.
That sounds not right.
I don't know if I like that. It's the Grissom. Defense was also good this weekend.
Yeah, I am excited for Vaughn and Rafaela.
Rafaela looked
yeah,
good,
like,
dude.
That will be exciting. And the pitching is, that's awesome.
Trevor Story?
So, the bullpen looked good. Yeah, I think we're missing, like, the star isn't there. Rafi didn't play a lot, but either Rafi or Story, I need someone to buy a jersey for. Like, who's that going to be, really? And
right now,
it's Big Tyler.
That's a good question. Right now, I don't know if there's one, and I really want to believe in Trevor Story. Defensively, he's good.
Right.
Offensively, I need to see something because I'm not seeing a ton from him.
Yeah, I kind of, if he can have a Justin Turner-esque season as of late.
That's a good comp.
But Justin Turner's really good.
Justin Turner's very
good. But if he can just do that. But even with that, I don't think he's going to be our, like, hey, this is the MVP run.
I agree. Last question. We are going over, but this is my first ball, so I'm fine with it.
That's ball one.
We're going over, but here's my last question for you. Overall, I'm very happy with the series split.
Oh, so good.
Sorry, Jack's drinking orange juice and just had a pulp? Visceral reaction.
Is that pulp?
No pulp.
Give okay. me a rating.
Of what?
Of the series. You're right now, after the first 4 games, what's your rating of that series? You can go like what A through B, you know, A, B, C, whatever.
A through B?
A through B.
Okay.
You got two options.
A and a half.
If it's A through B, I'd probably lean B. Out of 10, I'd say 6.
Okay, I had it as a B. So on those scales, I think it's the same thing. I think the 6 is
no,
a B.
6 out of 10 would be a D.
That's
a 60.
Yeah.
You want to know what? I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
That's a C.
C.
It's not an 8.
No. Yeah. It's not. When you put it on
that's
the 1 out of 10
yeah,
scale,
it's not an 8.
I can't give it an 8. I'll give it a 7 out of 10. I mean, you split against one of the best pitching staffs in baseball and a Mariners team who has playoff expectations. So
yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I think they played well. The future of the lineup is a little scary, but I guess it can maybe get better. Abreu. Yeah.
Wilmer Abreu.
It shocked me to my core.
That shocked me to my core as well. Jack, thank you for joining the swamp. And you do smell like Axe, so go take care of that, please. It's pretty crazy, actually. I did not expect to smell that today. All right, moving on to our 7th inning. I'm sorry for rambling about the Red Sox, but I had to get it off my chest. Go 500 against the good teams.
God.
Beat the bad teams. That's all I ask.
It's a Yankees podcast.
Pitchers. Who didn't need to stretch that much, even though it is the 7th inning stretch, because they were already stretched out and ready to go. Here were 5 pitchers who I thought were really good, and then we're going to pick which one of them we were most impressed with. Corbin Burnes, 6 innings, 11 strikeouts, 1 earned run. Pablo Lopez, 7 innings, 7 strikeouts, 1 earned run. Grayson Rodriguez of the Orioles, my God, you are dirty, dude. 6 innings, 1 run, 9 strikeouts. How about that? Down in L.A., Bobby Miller. 6 innings, 11 strikeouts. I mean, there's a lot of hope if you're a Dodgers fan on those young prospects in that rotation. Gavin Stone looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Walker Buehler just made his first rehab start. Things are turning around. And then Brady Singer of the Kansas City Royals. Don't think I was going a whole podcast without giving my Royals some love. Oof. 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, 1 walk, 0 earned runs. Which one of those do you think means the most, Ronnie?
To me, I think it's Corbin Burns.
Ooh, good. I'm happy you went there because that wasn't my pick. Why?
Because I feel like he is the biggest factor with all of these. Of the five you mentioned, the Orioles have been needing an ace.
They've been needing an ace.
For years now.
Yeah.
And they didn't have one. They were surviving off John Means, you know.
Respect John Means.
No, I know. No. like he's good.
I get what you're saying. He's not Corbin Burns.
He's not Corbin Burns. And the fact that he came out as an ace first opening day in Camden Yards and then just shoved, I'm like, well, okay. I mean, if he's going to do that all year, the O's are coming.
Great one. Two Orioles pitchers made this. I'm going to go with Bobby Miller of the Dodgers because the biggest question and the only question around the 2024 Los Angeles Dodgers was pitching staff. They brought in Yamamoto. They brought in Glasnow. That made a lot of headlines. They paid him $500 million combined. But the key to the Dodger season, and if they want to be a legit team and win the World Series, which obviously they are, they have the best top three maybe ever. But to seriously win like a playoff run and like to win a World Series, they need pitching, man. And the people who are going to get that done for them, hopefully outside of Glasnow and Yamamoto, Bobby Miller and Gavin Stone. And Bobby Miller looked freaking awesome, dude. He was electric. He was emotional on the mound. He was pumping high heaters all day. I thought he looked fantastic. I think that means the most to me because if one of him or Stone clicks for the Dodgers and Buehler comes back healthy and Glasnow and Yamamoto are the way they are, a scary proposition. My other one, Grayson Rodriguez, because you're right. Corbin Burns is going to do what Corbin Burns does. But with Kyle Bradish out, Grayson Rodriguez needs to take a big step up. This is his second year, and he looked really good, dude. Yep. I made a couple pitching compilations of him because I was having a lot of fun with it. He was pumping 100 easy all day. Breaking balls were nasty. So a couple of them. The Orioles rotation looked really good. The Dodgers rotation looks pretty good to me. So overall, I would say that's a good way to live. Moving on to our eighth inning. Couple quick hitters. I got five quick topics. Let's go through them. Instant reaction. Everyone was fighting, and the buzz was real, Ronnie. Blue Jays, Rays fight. We had the, who was the other fight? The Mets, Brewers fight. What, in your opinion, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give this weekend of baseball?
I would give it 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 weekend in baseball. I would give it a 9 out of 10. I thought it was really, really good. I have no complaints. I enjoyed it a lot. Jerseys looked horrible. Did you see Carlos Rodon sweat stains?
Did I? Dude.
That was insane.
Judge. I mean, all of them.
The Rodon one really stood out to me. No, but Rodon. He's a sweaty man.
And he's pitching. He's throwing a ball 100 miles per hour every pitch.
Sweaty dude. The back of his jersey was dark gray, and the front of his jersey was like a light gray, so you could see like it looked like he was playing pickup basketball on like a blacktop in July.
He had to switch jerseys
several times, I think. It looked crazy. So that was bad. And then the Randy Arozarena lettering genuinely made me nauseous.
Did you see the side by side? It was Pete Alonso jerseys in the Mets game. Somebody's wearing last year's normal jersey and then this year's. I mean, it could not be more apparent.
This is such a story all offseason, but I mean, it was front and center on opening day, and it's insane to me that we've allowed it to get to this point and that we are playing real baseball games and people are wearing these jerseys.
Did you also see that the Cardinals are not getting their powder blue road jerseys because of something's wrong with like the shipping to the team?
Get it together, guys. What are we doing? That was my only reason it wasn't a 10 out of 10 because I saw a few of those jerseys and I was like, what the hell is that? The Yankees ones really stood out to me. I don't know why. Maybe it's because Stroman and Rodon are just sweaty boys.
And they're Houston. It's hot.
Yeah. And they were just sweating through their jerseys. Yeah. I was like, I've never noticed players sweat. And now I'm noticing every player who's sweaty versus not sweaty. It's insane to me. Did you see Bryce Harper flip over a rail chasing a fly ball?
That was hilarious.
It was pretty fun. Okay. It was super scary.
Yeah.
And then hilarious that he was okay. And then the ball landed like 5 feet behind him.
Yeah. It must have hit like the net.
It had to hit. It was probably chasing it down and hit the net. And then he went over the rail and he fell. So that was super scary. And I was watching that and it made me have one opinion. Just give me a full baseball season where no superstars missed a whole year. That's all I ask. No like Harpers or Trouts or Mookie. Just give me one season where everybody plays. Yeah. It's like people are going to get hurt. But no, like, season-ending injuries. That's all I ask. So there are no teams with a big hole in their lineup. That's all I want this year. A healthy baseball season. I think the sport needs it, and it would be awesome. MLB big inning is amazing and is the only way to watch if your team isn't playing.
What do you mean?
You know what MLB big inning is?
I don't know what that is.
It's red zone for baseball.
Yeah?
It's on MLB Now. It's on MLB TV app.
I have that.
And you go down, and it plays on Saturdays and Sundays, and I think Fridays as well. And it shows four games at a time, quad box, and it switches through every game based on who's up to a bat and who's playing. It's amazing. And if you're a baseball fan and your team isn't playing, it's not good if your team's playing because it's too distracting. But if you're just casually watching baseball, it's the way to go, dude. It's fantastic. I love it. I'm obsessed with it. It's the only way I consume baseball on the weekends. It's the way I get to watch all the games. I got to watch basically like every game.
I did that, but like, I guess manually. I didn't know it was a thing. I picked the four best that were on, and I just put them on like the multi-view.
You can also do that. I do the big inning because they switch.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And I like that because it keeps switching through the games. Last one, and our debut officially, because we did a preseason one, Swamp Donkey of the Week goes to Max Muncy. Now, this came down to two people. It was either Juan Soto or Max Muncy. And I was going to give it to Juan Soto, but then that Max Muncy homer.
Yep.
And shout out to whoever runs the Dodgers social media team. Their camera angles, everything is electric. He pimped it, and he's the only one who I saw really pimp a homer this weekend.
Well, Adelis.
Did he pimp one as well? Oh, my God, you're right, opening day. Dude. I'm still going to give it to Max.
Right, okay.
Still going to give it to Max Muncy, but that's a great honorable mention. Damn, Adelis.
How about both?
No, we can't do that. We got to be decisive, Ronnie. What the hell? I'm going to give it to Max Muncy. Shout out Adelis, though. His pin job was.
I'm going
to
give it to Adelis.
You can give it to Adelis.
Yeah.
I'm giving it to Max Muncy. Gave the Dodgers the lead and took the series 3-1. So shout out Max Muncy. You are our first time Swamp Donkey of the Week winner. Last segment around the antlers. This has been a great episode. I've had a ton of fun, but let's hear from the people. One game or moment from opening week that you wished you watched live. I didn't see any of the Giants-Padres series.
Yeah.
I saw a little bit on opening day. Other than that, I have no idea what happened, and I wish I watched more of that.
I saw Tatis hit two home runs.
I saw the highlights, but I didn't watch any like live time what was going on. So I wish I watched a little bit more of that because those are two teams I'm interested in. It just didn't really line up with my viewing experience that
much. Matt Chapman, two home runs. That one
How about that?
Yeah.
What about you?
I wish I would have saw the whole Mets Brewers thing live.
We were working, true. So we kind of saw replays of it all.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Who is your favorite music artist, and what would your walk-up song be? Artist is really hard. I don't know if I have a. I just put Ronnie in a different mood.
Oh my God.
I don't know if I have a favorite music artist right now. My walk-up song, though. That's a good question.
You threw a wrench in my soup.
A wrench in your soup? In your stew, maybe? What would my walk-up song be?
I think my walk-up songs would be Shook Ones Part 2.
That's a good one. No one's going to, maybe like Many Men by 50 Cent.
Ooh.
That might be mine. But I'm not cool enough for that. So that would be a cool one. I don't know if it would be mine. I don't know. Probably something like by Travis Scott or something. I feel like that's always a layup.
Sure.
Just if you're looking for like a cool walk-up song. I don't have a great answer to that question. We'll talk about walk-up songs on this channel at some point, but yeah. I'm not in a great walk-up song mindset right now.
Favorite artists recently, not like, you know, who have you been listening to recently?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I listened to that Future album.
I was listening to that Future album.
And that was really, really good.
Yeah.
So probably that Future album is probably my favorite album recently. So favorite artist recently is probably that.
Yeah, me too.
Number three, what is your favorite and least favorite food?
Favorite and least
favorite?
These
are tough hitting questions this week, guys.
Yeah.
Favorite food this isn't my favorite food because these are all hard questions for me to answer. But this weekend I made meatloaf sandwiches.
Really?
And they were delicious, bro. That's I got in my bag caramelized onions, little mashed potatoes, nice. Meatloaf.
Nice, nice, nice.
So that was my favorite food this weekend. And my least favorite food of all time will always and forever be carrots.
Yeah?
I hate carrots.
Man, don't tell the Easter Bunny.
No wonder I got glasses, brother.
yeah, I can't see. I think my favorite, my cop out, because I don't know, I love food. I love so many things, but I just say lasagna because lasagna is awesome.
I'm going to add this question because we only had four this week. How was your Easter, Ronnie?
Easter was good. It was really chill. Spent time with family.
Nice. Did you guys have like a nice meal?
Yep, we went out to eat.
Where'd you go?
I went to an Italian restaurant and had chicken parm.
Chicken parm's always a good meal. Chicken I'm parm. Happy you had a good Easter. And last question. What is your favorite part of the baseball season?
Favorite part?
The dog days for me, man.
I think it's, for me, always having something to watch in the evening. Every
I love the slog, the June, the July, the August, because that's when I really appreciate that it's on every night. Yeah. And that I have something to come back to and yeah. watch every night and really just like follow these players for 180 games. I love the dog days, man. It keeps me going.
I also, you know, I'm going to change it. Just going to a game just during the summer. Just like
I got to go to a game.
I was looking at tickets because I want to go.
Tickets are going to be pricey.
Especially for, but like the weather's crappy right now. We're going to have to wait.
Wait it out a little bit. Wait it out. Yeah. But that wraps up this week of Swamp Talkie Radio. I think we did a pretty good job on time. Thank you so much for watching, viewing, or listening. Make sure you subscribe. Leave a rating on Spotify and Apple. It actually does help a lot. And we'll see you next time with another episode in the Swamp. Take it easy and bye.
Ball and Play 2 presented by DraftKings is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.